Blog Talk Radio. everyone. This is Jan. Christina is here with me tonight, or I'm here with her, I guess I should say. It's her show. Hi, Christina.
Okay. Hello. Hello. Sorry about that. Little technical difficulty.
It's fine. We're having an exciting time already, huh?
Welcome to Lightworker Radio. Thank you, Jan, for being with us. This evening, we are coming from Simon's here, just outside of Toronto, where we gather bi-weekly, and we have a full house here. We have a lot of people joining us, so it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful show. And we are hoping that Almin will be able to join us, as well as we have two guests with us, two wonderful students of Almin's. Frank and Jean will be joining us shortly, but... So maybe we should do some announcements first off. Jan, would you take that away for me?
I will take that away. I get to do this on...
Take it away!
Take it away!
We just did meditation, so I think I'm flying away. So.
All right. Well, I'll take away from... Yes, pick away and let you fly for a bit longer. Hello to everybody there at Simon's, and I'm really happy that you...
Hello.
Hi. I'm really happy you give us the opportunity to share this evening with you. It's generous and much appreciated. So let's just start with a few things coming up. There's going to be a class in Orlando, November 4th through 6th, with Almin, and all of our contact information for facilitators, all of our workshops, all of our online courses, all of our products are on our home website, which is spiritualjourneys.com. For those who are new students, new listeners, new searchers who just came upon us by grace, welcome, and just want to let everybody know that you can find almost anything you need to know there. And if you can't find it there, please email us at team@almine.net, and we'll be happy to help you with whatever you need. There's also a class coming up, which I'm sure everybody's getting excited for because it's getting a little chilly here in Ohio where I am. And I know our friend Ruth in Alaska is really getting excited because I think it's about 17 or lower there and snowing. So she's going to be going on this Western Caribbean cruise coming up November 7th through the 14th. It's going to pretty much come on the heels of that class in Florida. They're going to cruise from Tampa to Grand Cayman Islands to Belize, Cozumel, Roatan, Honduras. Again, our contact information is on Spiritual Journeys site. And then there's a carousel class coming up in November 16th through 20th. Shireen is the contact person for that. And not to be missed or outdone is Christmas Pod in Newport at Almin's house. Is Montu there? I don't hear him cheering. He should be cheering about now. Okay. The date for that class is December 6th through 10th. And we do have a special early registration. So, again, get on our website and check that out. This is going to be a really remarkable class. It was always very high energy just being within Almin's sacred home and with everyone gathered there. It's a festive occasion. It's holidays. So Almin cooks for us and the house is decorated beautifully. So it's that in itself is enough. But then also Almin's going to be bringing in some new information, which is going to be the Hakulit, and the kind of some more spiritual counseling information that will be part of that. And also a new body, the High Alchemy of Bhavaspata, that will be coming in December also. So we can talk a little bit more about the preparation for that because I do get some questions for that on our team at Almin email. It's not too late for anyone who has not already signed up for the wonderful Transmissions from the Infinite course. I know everybody there probably already is taking the course, but it's pretty amazing to get on this course and hear Almin speak of basically questions that she is curious about, her discourse with the infinite and in her daily life where she has so many exchanges with multi-dimensional realities and much that she doesn't talk about usually. If you're at Pod... or, you know, that's our word for class. If you're at class with Almin and you happen to be present at any given time, you are privy to what she's working with right at that time. But usually this is not available to most students. So this class itself is an opportunity to have that access. She gives an audio transmission every day, Monday through Saturday, for about 20 minutes or so, and it's been very insightful. So I invite you to check that out. If you're interested, you can get on spiritualjourneys.com and you can register and pay your tuition right there, and then you're immediately connected to the course. Our next course coming up in November is called Beyond Mortality, and it's going to be concerning the alchemy of eternal life. So as I mentioned, it is of a lot of interest to those who practice the Kivesta, because it's going to share some components of the Hakulit, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, which is a tool of spiritual counseling. And this is 5 weeks of material condensed into a four-week course. So the tuition is $125 instead of $100, and that is on alchemyandmysticism.com. It's on a new website, but if you get on our home website, you should be able to see some information about it. And that is about it, I think, unless, Christina, you have anything you want to add?
No, not at the moment. Thank you, remember?
Okay, she might still be flying. I don't know.
Ken?
I am flying.
Okay.
Hey, Jen, it's Montu. I couldn't share because you were on mute, but I could share now, and I just want to encourage everybody to check out the website, spiritualjourneys.com, and check out Christmas Pod, because, like, all the pods are wonderful, but Orlando Pod coming up, but Christmas is a special pod that all means house and great opportunity to see the family, and check out, of course, all means great pod. And we do a lot of great stuff. All means cooking, and of course, there's neighbors and great Christmas pod. Check it out.
It is. Thank you very much. Man on the scene report. Montu has been to, I think, all, the last three that we've had, and they are stupendous. And actually, I think he was quite the instigator for this pod that's coming up. I think it was a special request. So he got his way, and now we all get to benefit. So so check that
awesome.
Out.
Great.
Yeah, it's going to be, I think there's so much, everybody can feel there's so much happening. I mean, even people that don't study with Elmine, not that, you know, that includes, let me back up. Even if you don't study with Elmine, I think that I've had so many comments from friends, my husband's telling me, people at work, and I'm sure you all are having this experience, but there's just this buzz going on out in the world, and people are awakening and shifting and changing, and it just seems like we're on the brink of, you know, a pretty big move here, for lack of a better way to describe it. I don't want to relate it to time or anything, but it just seems we're on the verge of some big change. Amin spoke a bit about that yesterday on the Transmissions from the Infinite course. So I hope she just joins us this evening, because that's one of my big questions for her. If we don't have Amin on the line yet, do we?
I don't see her yet. There's quite a few
okay.
people listening.
All right.
I don't.
All right.
Helena has a question on the course she would actually
great.
Like to
ask. Okay, sure. Hi, Helena.
Hi, Jen. Jen, regarding this course in November, I just seen it's the we will be using on the spiritual counseling the cards, the 144 cards.
Uh-huh.
Are those cards is the same as the at the Kivesta course?
I think that you still use the same cards. It's more. This is more detail about how to work with clients in particular. Yourself, you could work with yourself also. But it's like a way to, I know Almeen has spoken to the fact that if you go to someone and, you know, to seek counseling, they tend to just basically try to impose their belief system on you or a particular discipline they work with. Like, you know, if you go to a Freudian psychologist, they use Freudian counseling. So if that doesn't work for you, you might see somebody else, or you might try to form yourself, you know, into that particular type of counseling. This tool helps you to learn to ask the right questions and to allow the person that you're working with to basically get their own information. You're kind of asking them questions and then reflecting that back to them so they can get their own insights rather than imposing what you think, you know, they should be doing. So in answer to your question, yes, I think the cards are the same, and it's more, again, detail about how to use them in a specific way as a spiritual counseling
tool. Asking
for.
Just in case it might be helpful for all those who are signing up for this course, then they will have time to prepare those cards ahead of time, because it's their course ends. So maybe, you know, it's a good idea to clarify that and for all those who want to register and just to be ahead of time and be prepared. So that's why, for those who didn't prepare the cards yet, because I know quite a few students have the cards ready, already print out and laminated, and so only that's why I'm asking.
That's a great question, and thank you for bringing it up. I will, one thing I can do is hopefully lots of our listeners and those present there at Simon's and anyone who's interested in Almeen's work, you can get on our Inner Sanctum. It's called My Inner Sanctum, and boy, I should have that website up right in front of me. I'll get it up while I'm speaking. But it is a site where you can, anyone can get on there and view information, and if you want to post to it, you have to be a student who's taking online courses. So let me try and find that here. What I'll do is post a note on there, just an answer, you know, I'll verify with Almeen, but I need to read the information, and then I'll just check with her, and I'll write something and put it on there so everybody will be able to see it. Sound like a good? All right. Thank you for the question. You are always paying attention to details. It's a good thing you are, because it's really helpful and appreciated. Anybody else have any questions?
Anything specific you want to ask on?
Well, since you mentioned that in December will another layers of Belvaspata will come forth. And we will be preparing ourselves for the Belvaspata, inner sanctum Belvaspata. So yeah. I remember Almeen was mentioning in Niagara Falls pod to, we have to prepare ourselves and we have to do the Kanish Belvaspata for 30 days.
Yeah.
So maybe I know you were. Probably was working on that, and just you have more, like, I would appreciate if we can have more clarification on that, because especially I was thinking that we need lots of clarification on that, because I remember I mean to mention to divide for the sections the whole, like, the five levels of Belvaspata. I think that we need lots of clarification for the section specifically with the wheels, because I think that the method how we are embody the wheels, because if this for example, how we simply embody the wheels, because I think that we can approach two ways, but it's my inner feeling, but I would like to hear from you if you have the clarification on that and for all of us.
Yes. Thank you. That's an excellent question. I did post a note about this on belvaspata.org and also on the Inner Sanctum. I'm going to put one on Almeen Diary just so I hopefully will catch everybody wherever or place they might look. But if you don't have yet, you would probably need to purchase the Kanish Belvaspata manual. And actually, when that was written, it wasn't clarified specifically in the first edition how to use the wheels, and then that was included in the second one. But I think a little clarification, even just as you're asking, is really good. And from what I understand and what I have posted, and I did verify with Almeen, it's 30 days to prepare yourself and your environment. This inner sanctum is why we are doing this Kanish Belvaspata. and it is the Balbas Patel of purification and enlightenment. There doesn't, anytime you use it, there does not have to be a problem or a need for a healing or any such thing. You basically are doing it just with the intent that it's going to be drawn, like all Balbas Patel, where it's most needed. So it's a blessing of purification and enlightenment, both for the person doing it and then also for all of creation that's receiving it. So we're going to do it for the 30 days, and it does have 5 levels, and it was suggested that you do at least 1 level per day. And if you do all 5 levels without the wheels included, it takes you about an hour or so, depending, you know, maybe an hour and a half if you're just learning it. If you break it up, you always are to do, like, if you say on day 1 do level 1 and 2, then the next day you start with it again, you do level 3. You always do them in consecutive order. And I mean, suggested that you do the wheels, integrate the wheels on level 5, and that is sort of how it's set up because they're part of level 5's sigils that you're working with directly. So there's 4 wheels of inner peace, there's 13 wheels of manifestation of mastery, and then there's the 144 self wheels. So what you do is, this is just a real simple way to picture it in your mind. If you were standing up and you were standing on a stack of LPs, like a round circle under your feet, okay, that's how you can imagine the wheels being under your feet. But then we're going to lay down and picture those wheels coming up through your body, and what you're trying to do is feel the quality of the wheel as it comes up through your body, and if it sticks anywhere, you feel any resistance, then just really try to work with that quality of that particular wheel, and then you're going to move it all the way up your body and up to the top of your head, up the top of your head, and then you're going to do the next wheel. There are some people who have asked the question that they'll make the wheel, you know, bigger than their whole body. So it's like their body is inside of the wheel, like if you would pull up a sleeping bag, you know, up over you. And that's perfectly acceptable, too. The idea is that the original instructions were to move them up through your body, so inside your body. But it could be around your body. I mean, we're the one being. So I think it's a fine point, and it maybe it's a little bit of wiggle room for whatever feels most comfortable for you. So that's how you integrate the wheels. And then basically you're just going to repeat working with them every single day for 30 days. Amin did give the dates of, if you wanted to start it this way, was November 14th to December 14th, or it might, depending on how many days in the month, it might be a little bit different. But the idea was so that people who are doing the Hunaki Vesta assignments would be finished with an assignment right at that time, and then they could start doing the Kanish Balbas Patel, so they wouldn't have to be tied up doing two big ceremonies daily. So tell me, does anyone have any questions about that? Did that make sense as I explained it?
Yes, this is very helpful. But also I have a question, if the Kivesa is prerequisite to do the Kanish?
I'm sorry, could you repeat your question, please?
Is Kivesta is prerequisite to prepare ourselves with Kanish for the inner sanctum?
I'm sorry, I'm not understanding your question. You're asking about the Kanish Balbas Patel, and if you could do them both at the same time?
No. If those who want to do the Kanish Balbas Patel for the preparation for the Balbas for inner sanctum, if before that we have to complete the Kivesta, or this is some might complete Kivesta and then Kanish, and some they can only start with Kanish.
Now I understand your question. Thank you.
Okay.
thank you. For me, Almain explained it that basically, we're on assignment 6 now for Hunaki Vesta Guild. There's going to be one more assignment that's going to post this Saturday. That'll go up through November 14th. It's going to end, the last day you'll do it. I'm not looking at a calendar, but it'll work out so you could start on November 14th to do the Kanish. she wanted to give people that opportunity. So I would just recommend keep doing what you're doing with your Hunaki Vesta Guild work, and you'll have plenty of time to then start the Kanish. If you start it on November 14th, because we're going to, it's like there's going to be a pause with the Hunaki Vesta alignments at that point. There won't be another one given after that seventh one is completed. So that's the latest information that I have.
Okay, so
does that answer it?
Jen, the question is, Jim, the question was a little simpler. Is Ki Vesta a prerequisite for the Kanish?
No, not at all. No, not at all. I'm sorry, I still missed the question. No, not at all. That's a really, really good point. To do any of Belvaspita levels at all, general Belvaspita, there's really no name for these. I sort of named them original or basic Belvaspita, which is the original body of information composed of four levels. It's level one, two, mastery, and grandmastery. And to do any of the healing or working with Belvaspita, you must have at least level one initiation. So there's an initiation requirement for each level. To do any of the advanced or specialty Belvaspita, which is just, again, a name that I gave it just to help us be able to refer to it, the requirement is that you have at least level one initiation. No further levels are required. So if you are at least a level one Belvaspita master, you can use Kanish Belvaspita. You can participate in this work to prepare yourself to receive this higher level of Belvaspita.
Thank you, Jan.
Excellent question.
I think we're going to, Amin is, we don't see her there yet. We're trying to see if we can reach her, but I know. Well, maybe
yeah,
she'll hear us. And,
that's what I hope.
We have Jean on the line, though, with us, who's one of our guests. So
hey.
We invite her in to join us this evening.
Hi,
Jean.
Hi, Jeannie.
Hi, guys.
Jeannie.
Hi, everybody there.
Hello.
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 A little choir. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
I would really like to ask you, especially since we're going to have a new body, the new body that's already been written. It's not, that was something I was going to ask Almin, when we might expect to receive the Saradesi Sattva Yoga, because she wrote it, she finished it when we were in Niagara, and she mentioned that that's going to be the first time it's going to be available, and I'm assuming she's going to discuss it, because I don't know that it's been, you know, typed and typeset yet, but she's going to discuss it, and, you know, she would have a handwritten copy, and possibly people on the cruise will be doing it. I don't know that for sure, but in light of that, I know Jeannie is a person who is really working with the yoga, and is, as far as I know, tell us, Jeannie, getting a website together and really promoting herself as a yoga teacher. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, it's been quite amazing. You know, I remember Almin sharing with us somewhere, you know how she'll say something and you remember it. And what I remember her saying is, just because a person has a lot of gifts doesn't necessarily equate to high consciousness. And it always stuck with me, because I was trying to, like, what would that look like? And, you know, I was a person who, you know, languages came easy for me and some other things. But on the other hand, I had some real challenges in my life. And when the Sri Hat specifically came out, I could not stop doing it. And I couldn't figure out exactly why. And then later I figured out that what it does is it helps remove programming. So on the one hand, when I was doing, like, the ascension, you know, I one of the gifts I was given was I had increased perception, and I never knew I really had it. I only started to figure it out later. I just thought everybody could see the way I saw. And so in one hand, I always did life like that. Like, if one road wasn't open to me, I could see at least three other ones. Well, what started to happen is perception wasn't working anymore. So and as, you know, all of us were studying, we realized that we, you know, we're supposed to come from not knowing and to, you know, go into effortless knowing the best that we know how. But the phrase of just because you have gifts doesn't mean you have great, you know, higher consciousness. And I kept trying to figure, you know, I was going in my head trying to figure out, well, where am I or what do I need to know and why does my life seem so hard when other people just seem to flow? And then when the Srihat, I started just peeling and peeling and peeling. And I kind of, when I was studying with Almin, kind of skipped over the poetry of dreaming. I knew about it. I took the Art of Dreaming course. But, you know, I hadn't really delved into that other than the art that was coming through. The art that was coming through me was just came through. But I didn't stop to really get present to what was that and how to connect it all. So life just kind of got really, I started to do the Ki Vesta, and my shadows kept showing up. And I was the one that asked the question. I had downloaded the music for Rejuvenation, and the middle song, Desert Moon, didn't play for me. And I knew it meant something because they always play. Remember that? So she said, if you don't look, I don't remember her words exactly, but if you don't get it, it's kind of like a shadow, it'll be harder for you, harder than graceful. And I'm just, so then I'm like, oh, great. and
oh, good.
I kept doing the Ki Vesta and I kept doing Srihat. And I can't tell you honestly what it is exactly that shifted, but what I can tell you is, had it not been for me for doing those two specifically, the Ki Vesta for me helped me to see better what my things were, the shadows, the, you know, where I was. I really started to see I wasn't as conscious as I thought I was. And then I started to, through the Srihat, I started to be able to unravel. It's like the web. It's all these programs, and there was a gazillion programs I had going. And then two specific of the poses in Srihat, one of them is related to, you know how you have a high level of excellence? You know, to me it reminds me of you're the gold medalist, and unless you get the gold medal, you didn't really do it. Somehow I had a warped sense of I had to do it really, really well. I didn't care if others did it really well. As a matter of fact, I was like, how does everyone do it so easily? And why is it I can't? You know, it seemed like this something was in the way. And other people didn't see me that way, but I saw myself that way. So I just, if I didn't do the yoga, I would do the little meditation, the verses, and I would go deeper and deeper in the psyche. So what I started to notice is, let's say I did the first five verses, the yoga would be easy for me, but I would go deeper and deeper, and then I would notice a pose would be, maybe my eyes would be hurting or something would show up. And then I would look and go, well, what is this pose? And ironically, it's pose number five, and it's the only one Almin hasn't said what that one means. So, of course, when I go to the next pod, when I go to Orlando, I'd like to, you know, find out what is that one, because that one, as I went deeper in my psyche, got worse. So I did it like every day. I did something every day. And what started to happen is I ran across a petrified fear. And it stopped me, and it showed up when I wanted to create my own business. I could always go work for someone else, and I could always do things pretty well, but I could never do it for me. And I just started breaking through things, just as if you're breaking through like a brick wall, and eventually the wall just crumbles. I haven't worn makeup in about a month. Not, you know, like I could wear it. It doesn't matter if I do or I don't, but before I, you know, especially if I was going to present. And then I'm also doing cleansing, so if I'm breaking out or something, I mean, I just wasn't okay with myself. I went and I did my first workshop, and I so had so much more appreciation for Almin. I had to not know, because I've never done it before. Tonight on the show, I was like, I have no idea what question you're going to ask me, and I'm just learning to trust that, you know, I don't know if I'm going to say anything great or not great. All I can speak is my truth. And what I noticed with the whole makeup thing and going to this workshop, it was like a real part of me could actually connect with people that never had before, you know?
Yes. I really honor your clarity and your honesty with what you're sharing with us. I mean, I feel the same. I I don't wear makeup, and not that that's right or wrong or good or bad or anything. It's just what feels okay to me. And, it, you know, sometimes when I see people who usually do wear makeup and then they don't wear makeup, I'm like, whoa, they look really different. And that just wouldn't feel like me, you know, to me. I do want to share with you that I'm going to also, we're going to have this on our yoga guidelines, but in your comment about position five, I did have in Niagara, Chris and Jane, who work very much with the yoga in Belgium, got an opportunity to sit with Almeen and just go over a few questions they had. So she did clarify for them this position number five in Srihat, and guess what it does for you?
Oh, Lord. What
it really
is it?
Ties in with your comment. It clears feelings of being unsupported and insecure.
I thought that was a different one.
That's what they put.
Is that?
That's what they put for posture number five.
Okay.
And it could be, that could be the same for another posture, too. Let me look at six and see what that says. They made this really beautiful PowerPoint that's going to be available for sale, I think, and anybody could, you know, make a PowerPoint, but they took the time to do it, and it's really nice. I don't see it on anything close by. I'm going to look at, I think Sandra made a sheet up of all the yoga poses and what they do. And
I think
I
it's one, Jan. Yeah,
go
I think
ahead.
it's one that, because that one you just mentioned, I definitely resonated with that one. And then the excellence one, there's one in the book that I thought it was five. I could be wrong. I don't have it right here.
Okay.
But it's one that I didn't see what it said, and that was the one that would show up. But you're right. That number five was definitely one of them as well. So, you know, you don't always know what your programs are, and and it's not whether I do something or don't do it. It's what would stop me in ways that I either didn't know or I uncovered it. And they were deeper, and most of the things that would trip me up, I wouldn't know what it is. You know, I mean, those two were obvious ones for me, but I'm sure there was many, many, many more. I mean, just I was so humbled. Like, I thought, how could I be so unmasterful as I'm doing this? Because I could start to see it, where before I was like clueless. And so when you take it on to that level, it's just really humbling. You know, there's days you're down on your knees going, oh, my goodness, you know, and then there's other days where everything's great, and you just learn to enjoy the journey of it, and it wasn't always so joyous for me because of the shadows or because of it seemed like the effort I had to put towards it, but the rewards have just been phenomenal, and I'm starting to actually feel comfortable being me. And I don't know what that is exactly, other than it really doesn't matter how I present. As long as I know I'm doing, you know, being authentic, I think, is really what's real for me.
Yes.
And I was a person who learned at a very young age to kind of be the chameleon, don't talk too loud and don't say too, you know, I just all those kinds of things, and be very precise and whatever. And I couldn't see that I was like that until I started looking, and I saw it, and I'm like, oh my goodness, you know, like, then you get embarrassed, and then I just got comfortable being embarrassed. So I just started to be comfortable whatever way came to me. But I truly believe between the Key Vesta and the Srihat specifically, really, really catapulted me to be able to let go. And I surrender all the time, and every time I think I know, something will shift, and I just keep surrendering. And once I got used to doing that, I just became more humbled. And there's just something inside of me that just feels more real. And hopefully when I see people, they'll sense it or feel it as well. I don't know. But it really has been a beautiful journey. And, you know, it doesn't mean I don't have days. And going to the Saradisi, I can't wait. I mean, all the yogas do something beautiful beyond what I can probably comprehend, you know, all together. So I can't wait.
Well, we'll have to have you back on so you can tell us about it after the cruise.
I'd love to.
How about that? Okay. I so appreciate what you're saying. It is the truth. It's like we just, I think the fact that Amin has really been stressing on the Transmissions from the Infinite, on Ask Almaine course, where she was answering questions, both generally and personally. And by the way, I did manage to get some general answers put up there. I'm putting up some every day, so if you want to go check that out, anybody who's been interested, I had writer's cramp there after doing so many. I had to give myself a little rest, but there's some more up, and there'll be some every day. But in those courses, and just in, when we were in Pod in Niagara, she was just really presenting, you know, get who you are. See yourself for who you are. You're not a human. You're just, it's not a question of value or importance. It's a question of awareness, and you are different. You are a God being. Now, knowing that intellectually or conceptually or whatever is one thing, but really going, wow, no wonder I developed these. Like you were saying, you don't realize you have all these little programs and coping mechanisms and whatever it is you have going on that have just helped you survive, you know, in a situation that you didn't feel very comfortable in. And it's kind of a joke when we all get together in class that we'll say, you know, somebody new will come and say, well, I'm the weirdo in the family, and, you know, I don't really tell anybody much about what I'm doing. And, you know, everybody in the room will kind of start chuckling because we're all the weirdo, you know, in our family or our group or whatever, because of the fact that we are different, but we've felt different, like, in not such a good way, I think, instead of feeling different and stepping into your empowerment of the reason you're different is because you're a God being, and here's what you can do, and here's, you know, things you have done just to help you, you know, survive and cope. So seeing them for tools and not really like a fault or feeling guilty or bad about it, which I think is how a lot of us have felt, like we wanted to be undercover, you know, like you were saying, invisible, because we didn't want to stand out.
Mm-hmm.
But kind of hard to not let your light shine after you're doing all these things.
Well, and it's totally different to, you know, come from really being in the moment and not knowing. I mean, that's a whole different realm of
yeah.
doing it. And when you go to actually do it, you know, those, you know, like Sandra and you and Christine, I mean, whether you're doing a radio show, whether you're teaching something, you're actually taking action to take it out there. It just shows you a whole other level, an appreciation for all of you that are doing it. I so can honor it at a whole other level because you don't know what's going to happen, and you literally, you know, have self-belief and trust to the best of your ability, and it'll be what it is. And generally when you can let go and surrender, it really is beautiful. But if I still have some of those programs, I'll go in my mind, and it'll just mess it up. So I'm seeing the difference now, and then now it's just, you know, continue to keep doing doing whatever I'm guided to do and hope that it all works out, you know. So it has been beautiful, though, and I just truly thank Almaine and all of you because, you know, we don't realize how interconnected we are. And, you know, I'll see someone's face or I'll hear a show or whatever, and it just so inspires you to just stay connected and to just keep moving and doing what you're doing.
Well, and what everybody is doing, just like you, is just supporting all that, you know. Every person doing what they're doing, really how we used to feel like we had to save or help somebody else, we really have come to know that the more we do in our inner sanctum, you know, within ourselves, there's no within or without or these directional kinds of things, but the more we do, we're the one being, so it's uplifting all life. It is really beautiful. Can you tell me, I just have one other quick question and we'll get Frank on here. I know that I have seen come across my desk, my computer desk, some things that you were organizing for a website, some different tools to be able to help people like build a comprehensive website using some of the Bhavasbata sigils and some of our book covers, which have, you know, a certain appeal, a certain look to them for branding. Do you have any suggestions to anybody who's trying to do a website? And if I'm way off target there, just let me know. But I thought maybe you could speak to that a little bit.
Well, I might be confusing something you're asking. So let me, what happened was I was doing advertising for my first yoga workshop. And I didn't know the protocol. I didn't know, was it okay to take a sigil? Was it okay to use the language, uh-huh. whatever? And so I had asked, I believe I started with Rohir, and I just said, hey, is it okay if I can use the sigils for the Erosh Sattva Yoga and the Srihat Sattva Yoga. And so anyway, it ended up getting clarified as to, you know, how to use them. Do you remember that, Jan?
Uh-huh.
It was like
uh-huh.
the policy, which might be a really great thing, because what you guys did for me is you helped to clarify if I, let's say I'm going to do a yoga flyer. For flyers, as an example, you need to, the requirements are to credit Elmina as the originator and to put the website, so www.spiritualjourneys.com, on there. If you're going to
yep.
do a product, so if you create a product, you would do those two items I just mentioned, but additionally you would also, there's an endorsement that was to be put on there. And it became really helpful. So I was just creating my own website because I'm going to be teaching all sorts of, you know, the different things. And I just wanted to do it correctly. And that was really helpful because it is okay to use it, but just make sure you give Elmina the credit. So if you have that, Jan, maybe posting that on the diary or the Inner Sanctum would be great for people.
I could. I'd be happy to. Yeah. We're here. You can organize some examples of fonts, and I can't even remember everything that was in there.
Yeah,
because
and
you
think...
are allowed to use it. I mean, encourages everyone to use it so that they can, like, for instance, use that Velvaspita business plan and, you know, get those tools going. And the spiritual counseling is kind of like the crown, you know, piece on that body of information. So you can either email me at team@almin.net, and I will post something on, like, Inner Sanctum Forum for people if you're interested.
And you're right, he provided me with some of it I couldn't see, because when you go to print, you need at least a file that the printers can print, which is a TIFF file.
Uh-huh.
But if you're doing posters, then you can use a, you know, JPEG kind of thing. And he created those for me. Some of them I don't know what they are because I don't have publishing software. They're
uh-huh.
an EPS file. So I still need some clarity on that. But once we get that finalized,
okay.
then I'm sure that can be available for anybody who has it, which gives the font,
yeah.
the JPEGs, and the to be able to print too.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you. It was great sharing with everybody.
Thank
you,
Jeannie.
For joining us, and I'm sure we'll talk to you again, especially after the cruise.
Sounds good.
You're on the cruise. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Let's get Frank on here without further ado. Just to everybody there at Simon's and for those listening, I don't know what's come up exactly, but we don't have Almin with us yet, so we've been trying to contact her, and it's unlike her, so I'm just, you know, she's been telling us on the transmissions course, and I'm sure everybody can relate, our memory is just not really there. I mean, we go to, you know, to say, what did I do yesterday? We don't know. But even things that we normally would totally never, you know, miss, like being on a show or, you know, some commitment that we've made with someone, these kinds of things are getting by us because of kind of what we started the show out with, that things are shifting and something is certainly going on. So anyway, we apologize for that, and perhaps we can just reschedule to have her come on another time. So thank you for joining us in spite of the fact that she's not here, and we'll get Frank on here to cheer us all up. Hi, Frank.
Oh, hi, Jen. It was really great meeting you in Niagara.
Oh, thank you. I was going to say, that's not any big shoes to fill, is it? I just give you this big opening welcome and say, okay, come on now, you're going to cheer us all up because Elmin's not here. You're going to cheer us up in your own right because you are a great guy.
Oh, Niagara Falls was really so special. There were just so many things, and with my camera I kept taking pictures and all sorts of different kind of stuff. But one thing I just wanted to start out with is your website is really great. I find it really inspiring, simply the title of it, The Spiritual Journey, because when I look at my own life, my spiritual journey started over 40 years ago. And my points of reference are different. This is why till now I have been somewhat shaky, because somewhat different terminology is used in a lot of different things. And I have to get used to different things. Some things are the same and some are not. Just like the kind of meditation I have been doing is considerably different. And but then I also have done many different things, different channelings. I've been traveling to Sedona and Mount Shasta for different kind of channeling, so I have quite a background there. It's just a matter of, I see it almost like a three-dimensional puzzle, and I have to relate one thing with another. But I've been with Armin only since beginning of the year, and it's absolutely amazing. So to compare it with everything else, it's not that easy. Like the points of reference are different. But I could say in total, since the beginning of the year, I probably got more in spiritual stuff that I have been looking for than more than 30 years earlier. So to me, the whole thing has been quite amazing. And I don't Armin had suggested to me to take the Quivesta, which I did, and that also is really amazing. So my problem here is, where do I even start here? Because there is just so much of everything. But the important thing with Armin is my past, which was with an organization called ARE, the Association for Research and Enlightenment. That was the major part of my spiritual background. And I, of course, have to compare these things now with what Armin brings. The problem only is, for me, the old stuff in many cases don't apply anymore, you see. So I have to figure out which is current from Armin and which still applies from the old energy and new energy, as some people call it.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Continue your thought if you would like to do that. I can ask you a question in a minute.
Well, my spiritual journey has really taken off since I know Armin, and with the Quivesta. I'm right now, I keep count on it, I'm on day 50 doing it, and I set this a priority daily. So there are just so many things to get into, and I still have to feel my way through and see what I want to get into, because I don't want to get into all sorts of different things and not do them as they should be done. That's about it.
That's a really good point, because I think people, especially that are beginning to study with Almin, feel a bit overwhelmed, because there is so much information. And I've even had people, they almost sound angry or just so overwrought that they're almost like agitated, because they're just like, well, I don't even know what to do. You know, I don't know what to study first. And your attitude and your comment is excellent. It's just, you want to give the proper space and time, for lack of a better description, to integrate any information. So follow, you know, what your special interests are or what makes you happy, what your passion is, and then give yourself time to work with that. There's going to be, you know, infinite amount of time. There's going to be an infinite amount of information, so you may as well kind of enjoy your journey with it, you know, instead of feeling pressured to get more and more information but not be able to take the time to integrate it, because that's what creates the mastery, when you can, you know, read some of these things, be on an online course, go to a class, but then you take the time to live that information and it becomes part of you. That's really what assists you to embody this information.
Well, it's great. You see, what you're just saying reminds me of a quote from the Casey stuff, which says it's really not how much one knows that counts, but how well one applies that which one knows.
Yeah.
So this is always in my background, because the Casey material says studying alone doesn't do it. We have to apply what we study.
And I just how we were talking about the this information about being, you know, a God being, as I said, it's like been in my awareness. I know about it. I know of it. But it just took on a whole different meaning that the way Almina is explaining it now, and it's just like everything makes much more sense to me. And whether you have had somebody tell you you came through a time tunnel or how you got here, it almost has no logical reference point. It doesn't have a logical reference point. So I don't dwell on really any aspect of this information, but this particular way we're looking at things now has really been a personal huge insight for me, I have to say. And it is humbling because it's not like I ever feel like I know anything, but it's sort of like you're walking this path. I don't know if I'm a slow learner or a fast learner, but I've been doing it for a long time. So, you know, in my practical terms, it's been since I've been about 19, so for about, you know, 40 years. In terms of if I came through a time tunnel, not so long, but these things, it's like the more you learn, the more you learn you don't know. So I just hold on to it loosely, and my desire is to integrate what I can and to live it gracefully. So well said, sir. Can you tell us about your experience with the Key Vesta? We have just a few minutes left.
I would just like... I was just thinking of that because the depth of that material, I think, is quite incredible. And I thought at the beginning, okay, this is one thing that is really deep, but I'm discovering more and more, okay, it's pretty well all deep and I just don't see it right away. So just one example right here, which to me is really a question about life and death, and that's number 135, and that says that the body in its true state is not subject to death, only when it does not contain luminosity can it die. Luminosity expresses through authentic living. Now, isn't that quite incredible?
It is quite incredible. I should look up what luminosity means, like in, you know, in the dictionary or whatever. I mean, how would you define it? How would you define
luminosity? I would say the amount of light we carry.
So that would be information, basically.
The essence of your being. Luminosity of your being.
Right.
Say again, Christina?
The way how we live.
Yes, so she's asking what is luminosity? And to me, that is the essence of our being.
Well, Helena actually asked me to repeat that, and I think maybe I should, because what it is just so profound. Like I say, this is to me a subject of life and death, really. And I repeat now that the body in its true state is not subject to death, only when it does not contain luminosity can it die. Luminosity expresses through authentic living. In other words, the importance of authentic living right here. So many different things are touched upon here.
Yes, that's what I would say. You read these and you can understand the words, but what does that really say? It says that... you're going to express luminosity through authentic living. What is authentic living? You have to really have self-knowledge, so you know yourself to be the one being. You have self-love. You have to have self-knowledge to have self-love. I mean, it goes on and on and on to interpret that one question. So every time you see this card, you're going to have a little bit different facet, you know, of that that you gain an insight about. I want to thank you for joining us tonight, Frank. We have to sign off to our listeners and to everyone there, and thank you all there for having us into Simon's home there and spending the time with us. And hopefully next time, Almina will be able to join us.
Yes,
thank you,
Jen.
Christina.
Thank you, Frank, for being here.
Okay.
And, tune in next time. Thank you. Good night, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.